Welcome to the Urology Coding and Reimbursement Podcast, where we help urologists and staff achieve peak economic and practice efficiency so there is time and energy to focus on patient care and a happy life. I'm your host, Scott Painter, with my co-hosts, Mark Painter and Dr. Ray Painter.
Today's episode is brought to you by ModMed. Do your EHR and PM adapt to your style of practice? The ModMed EHR and PM do, with benefits like remembering preferences and automatically suggesting documentation and billing codes. Urologists voted ModMed the number one urology-specific EHR and PM solution available, built by urologists with input from yours truly. Stop wasting 60 minutes and 200 for each of your open or no-show slot. Go to modmed.com/PRSnetwork. Set up an appointment with the team at ModMed Urology and shift your urology practice into high gear. Imagine a solution on a tablet or the web that works seamlessly with revenue cycle management, analytics, telehealth, payment processing, patient engagement tools, and much more. ModMed is transforming healthcare by placing doctors and patients at the center of care.
Welcome to episode 186 of the Urology Coding and Reimbursement Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Painter, with my co-host, Mark Painter, and Dr. Ray Painter. And on today's episode, we want to answer a few more questions. And we have several questions that have come in to our communities. And if you want to check out the questions or ask a question, you can go to our episode page. And on that page is a link to the Urology Coding and Reimbursement Group. So if you go to prsnetwork.com/186 for episode 186, you'll see a link to join that group and you can see where these questions are coming from. All right, let's roll right into these. Got a question from Tori, and Tori asks, "Hello all, I have a CPT coding question. Indications equal urinary obstruction and the post-operative diagnosis equaled the obstruction of neck of urinary bladder. And here's the brief description. The resectoscope per urethra into the bladder under direct vision. There was moderate trabeculations with no evidence of mass or stones. The bladder neck was noted to be elevated as seen on prior clinical cystoscopy. This was causing obstruction of the bladder outlet without significant prostatic hypertrophy. The bipolar resectoscope was used with the plasma button attached to perform a TUIP at 5 o'clock, vaporizing the bladder neck fibers until the bladder neck was able to open properly and drain appropriately. Electrocautery was used for any small bleeding vessels, and hemostasis was adequate at the end of the procedure." And then Tori goes on to give a little bit more of an explanation, saying the recommended code is 52450, but the coder is recommending code 52500. We were also talking about codes 52276 and 52214. Please advise what you recommend and your rationale. So I guess we should give the definitions of all those codes just to help everybody understand what their thought process was. And Mark, if you can take them through the rationale of what we came up with.
All right. It is, the note does state that they were going to perform a TUIP, which is the transurethral incision of the prostate, or 52450. But the follow-up really focuses on vaporizing the bladder neck fibers until the bladder neck was able to open properly and drain appropriately, which feels a little bit closer, we felt overall, to a transurethral resection of the bladder neck. When we look at it from a couple of different angles, the fact that we used vaporization to do this overall would say we're okay with the use of the resections or the incision because we're functioning really the same way using the vaporization tool. A resection of the prostate, a TURP, doesn't take all the prostate. We're still resecting those pieces. So after much discussion, we really felt like the focus on the bladder neck fibers and the bladder neck being open was better support for the 52500, even with the TUIP listed in the operative note. So our recommendation would be to use the 52500. You know, and looking at the RVUs overall, you're not talking about much of a difference, 14.28 and 14.82. So they really are very close together in the work side. But again, the focus on the bladder neck fibers and bladder neck within the that note really led us to the 52500 as probably the best for this case.
And they had mentioned the 52276 and the 52214 as possibilities. Just, I know we dismissed those in the beginning, but what were those codes and why were they considering those?
So the 52276 is the DVIU, and I felt we were a little higher up and the bladder neck was a little bit more appropriate there. I think that's kind of where Ray and I went with that. And the fulguration, although we did do some fulguration, I think we were a little bit more in the resection mode than the straight fulguration here. And again, overall felt like that 52500 was our best descriptor.
Ray, what are your thoughts?
I totally agree. We look at this. One, you have to be sure you are in the same organ when you pick a code. And the codes that we looked at went everything from the urethra to the prostate, etc., with the 52276 and the 52450. And then the second thing you look at is, what did you do? Well, this wasn't just a fulguration. You got rid of tissue. So we had a bladder neck, we had a resection, and so that's the reason we came to the conclusion that we did. The closest code would be the, as Mark said, the 52500.
All right. Well, there's another example of words matter.
Yes. And you know what? Of all the codes, we did not read off 52214, which was the cystourethroscopy with fulguration, including cryosurgery or laser surgery, of trigone, bladder neck, prostatic fossa, urethra, or periurethral glands. So, again, that goes back to what Ray just said. It was more about what we did than where we did it. I think it is tempting to look at just location sometimes. Like if it says bladder neck and we're in the bladder neck, let's use a code that has bladder neck. And that is an important piece of this location, but you can't ignore what you're really trying to do. And in this case, we did remove the bladder neck fibers and we're focused on that bladder neck with the electrocautery afterwards. So I really think that, that 52500 is right.
Since it's beginning to get baseball season, it's sort of like going to a ball game. Your ticket gets you in the gate. Well, bladder neck gets you in the right location, but then you got to find the right seat. And that means the correct procedure that was performed.
Great analogy. All right. Let's move on to the next question. We've got a question from Lisa. And Dr. Cartwright asked the question. She states, I completed a tapered ureteral reimplant, which is the 50783 on the left, and a standard non-tapered ureteral reimplant on the right, which is the 50780. Does adding the LT and RT modifiers allow both codes to be billed as follows? The 50783 LT and the 507-8051-RT. Does adding the right and left modifiers address the bundling issue? And she also puts in a coder's note. The coders are noting that the 507-83 includes the 507-80. However, this is two different sides and can't bill bilateral tapered 507-83 with a 50 modifier as only tapered on one side. And bilateral re-implant is undercoded for the additional time and complexity of the ureteral tapering. All right, so we got a concept. It's a good question, and we also wanted to talk a little bit about kind of the underlying question of the question. So, Mark, do you want to talk about this a little bit more in detail?
Yeah. So, first up, applaud Dr. Cartwright on this. You know, making sure that she is accurately describing what she's doing and focusing on the work efforts of each of the different procedures. So, you know, that 507-83, which is ureteral cystostomy with extensive ureteral tailoring versus the 507-80, which is ureteral neocystostomy and anastomosis of a single ureter to the bladder. So definitely two different focuses, although when you look at the work values of 20.7 versus 19.95, again, not a huge differential, even though the extra work is there. You know, for some of these things, it's interesting how it all goes. But in the end, her original suggestions of using the 507-83 and the 507-80 with the RT and LT are appropriate. Now, we don't want to put the modifier 51 on in addition to the RT and the LT, but these codes in the NCCI, or the Correct Coding Initiative, are considered bundled but allowed to be unbundled with an appropriate modifier. So our RT and LT are the right ways to list these, and the RT and LT should pull these out of the bundle edit and pay them. So good thoughts on this, and really good trying to get everything accurate with the overall discussion. So, and then of course she was right. You know, you didn't do the same procedure on both sides, so you can't use the 50. That's bilateral. That means you did the same thing on both sides, and clearly that was not the case. So 507-83 LT and 507-80 RT, no 51. Otherwise, good.
Ray, what are your comments?
I agree with Mark 100%.
All right. Okay, let's move on to the final question. The last question we have is from Tori. And Tori asks, has anyone billed for bladder injection of Lipidol, spelled L-I-P-I-O-D-O-L, before? I have a provider who resected a large bladder tumor, then injected like Lipidol in and around the resection site to aid with the patient's radiation planning for invasive bladder cancer. I was thinking this may be included in the 52240, but the office is suggesting unlisted code 53899 benchmarked to the 52287 or the 52283. What are your thoughts? Mark, what do you got?
So let's approach this from a few different things. So when we looked up the Lipidol, which is a radio opaque contrast agent, and right now as I look it up, it looks like this is typically used in a hysterosalpingography, a lymphography, or an selective hepatic intraarterial use for tumor imaging in adults. with known hepatocellular carcinoma. So one of the things you're going to have to worry about here is the actual agent kind of going off label. If that's, you know, ultimately the label that we have in place. So you might have some issues there. Certainly that means that you want to make sure that your documentation is really clear relative to the use of that particular imaging agent. So you want to make sure that's in place in the note, because you are going to probably see this come back to you for some additional support to see if this is the right thing to do. So put that in there. Second issue in all of this is from a straight coding perspective, Tori, I'm thinking that this is not included in the 52240, but instead would use the 53899 with a comparing code of 52287. That one looks the best to me. I can understand why looking at 52283, that's another injection code, but this is an injection in the bladder. I think the closest one is the 52287. So those would be the two that I would use. And I would actually consider using it in addition to the 52240. That is some extra effort, but also it is something that might help drive the potential for reimbursement of the Lipiodol. But, you know, that's another issue that kind of falls into a weird role relative to Medicare, because this being a dye, you know, typically dyes are not categorized as drugs like J-codes, but are actually pushed over into supplies and would typically look at an A-code. So you might need to have that 53899 to see if there's any reimbursement available for the Lipiodol. So those are all things to consider. And as you are one of the first that is asking about this, we haven't heard a lot about this in the marketplace. So you are in the pioneering stage. So it's gonna be a little bit of a lift to go through that. And that's the other consideration, the other consideration that's out there that you're going to have an issue with is typically the 53899 doesn't have an APC assigned to it. So you're going to want to look to see for the facility if there's some type of C code or some other type of code out there to categorize the Lipiodol, if there's not an A code or something else for that. And I haven't had the chance to look up that side of the equation, but that is that other consideration. Is, you know, as a physician, you've got one thing to consider, and that's what you do and what you get paid for. But the other side of the coin is the facility that you're working with going to be reimbursed appropriately for the equipment that's used, including the Lipiodol.
Ray, what are your thoughts?
I think Mark has got it right on the money. And I think this is another case where documentation is really important to show the extra work and effort that went into the injection and the reason for it.
All right. Okay. Well, let's wrap this episode up here. We want to thank ModMed for supporting this episode. If you're in the market for a practice management system or an EHR, we encourage you to check out ModMed. You can go to modmed.com/PRS network for some specials for our listening audience. All right. Let's get some final thoughts. Mark, final thoughts.
Some good questions for everybody, from everybody. And ultimately, you know, it shows that everybody is clearly getting a good understanding. At least all the questions today demonstrated a really good understanding of kind of global and code specifics. And it is kind of interesting as we go through this to see how everybody's, you know, diving into the weeds for all this stuff. So we're going to see kind of, I think, more and more of this as both sides, both the payers and the physicians and offices, try and navigate with these, the nuances of coding, some new, some old. But these one-offs or these rarer performances do require some extra work. The other thing that I liked in a lot of what we saw today was it clearly demonstrates that a lot of groups out there are now actually focusing on the team concept of billers and coders and docs talking back and forth and working out a best approach, which is going to be required for a lot of this stuff.
You know, it's interesting, Mark, you pointed out that the team approach, what we're also noticing, and this is a newer trend, is a lot of the questions that are asked are being followed up by their thought process and their rationale, which we haven't seen a lot of that in the past. So it's nice to see that. I think that's another part that you were alluding to, that discussion is interesting. Ray, final thoughts.
Oh, I agree. I think it's very exciting to see the level of knowledge coming up and the understanding that words matter. And it starts with the documentation, and then it ends up with interpreting what you do with that documentation. So keep up the good work. Keep understanding the concepts and putting the words down that really make a difference to get you paid for the service you provide.
Yes, well said. And that brings me up to the final point I want to make is our registration for our brand new documentation for coding and reimbursement for APPs. This is for urology APPs, is open. So we do encourage you, if you are an APP, this is something that's a must do. If you are a urologist listening to this, make sure you send your APP through this. It'll help clarify a lot of things. So we do have it's a nice short course. It's not a long one, but it's packed full of great information and really focuses on words, the words that matter in the documentation and what you need to know in order to pick those right words. So it's really a nice compact course, and we encourage all APPs to go through it, every single one. All right. And you can check that out if you go to prsnetwork.com/186 for this episode. You just check it out on this episode page. You can sign up for the new course. All right. That's all we have for today. Take us out, Ray.
Happy coding.
Thank you for listening to the Urology Coding and Reimbursement Podcast, where we help urologists and their staff maximize income and efficiencies so there's time and energy for patient care and a happy life. Special thanks to Carl Painter for the music today. You can find his music on Spotify under his record label, The Juicery.